As Wednesday morning dawned over West Cumbrium, no one in that county appeared to be doing anything out of the ordinary. There were, if you were to go through the place, pensioners tending flowers in the front gardens, housewives coming home from the shops, mothers dropping children off at a school holiday playgroup. Everything was just as it had always been in those little towns and villages and hamlets along this swathe of the Lake District. Even the sun, we are told, was shining for once. But in less than 3 hours, one man with two guns brought carnage and mayhem. By the time that Derek Bird had finished, 12 people lay dead, and at least 11 were seriously injured. Before dusk fell that night, West Cumbrium, described as one big village community, found itself struggling to cope with the blackest day in its history. Early on Wednesday morning, Derek Bird is believed to have blasted his twin brother David in his bed at his home at Lamplugh. He then lay in wait for Kevin Commons, a local solicitor, and shot him also. Neither crime had been reported by 10:30 in the morning when he drove his Citroen Picasso taxi back to the Whitehaven taxi rank and gunned down one of the men that had been a colleague of his, Darren Rucastle. Several other cab drivers narrowly escaped death. That was the start of an unprecedented manhunt as Bird sped along a 90-mile route through those villages and hamlets, executing people, some of whom he would have known, and they seemed to have been specifically targeted, but others just randomly slaughtered as they stood on the spot. Bird's murderous route that he took south from Whitehaven to Boot has been described as a corridor of horror that linked every town and hamlet along the way. His terrifying rampage ended only when he shot himself at one of the beauty spots in the Lake District. From the moment he opened fire that morning, Cumbria became another mark on Britain's massacre map, blighted with the same reputation that still haunts places in the United Kingdom like Hungerford and Dunblane, and of course many, many areas in our country when those troubles were rife. This sort of thing just doesn't happen in a place like Egremont, 70-year-old Cecil Saw said as he surveyed one of the murder locations in one of the towns. His friend Ken Fishburne, a former Royal Artillery signal sergeant, was blasted to death on a bridge near his home on the edge of the town. He was a very fine gentleman, and he didn't deserve to die like that, Mr. Saw said. In a country lane off the main road that runs past Gosforth, a middle-aged man was seen the day after the massacre, standing at the spot where Gary Purdham, a former professional rugby league player, had been shot dead that previous day. All that young rugby player had been doing when he and Bird, the murderer, coincided, was trimming a hedge. The man at the edge of the field on Thursday was his father, John. He stood in complete silence, motionless, simply staring at the hedge. His mouth hung slightly open. It was the kind of expression people were finding all along the way of Bird's route. Head shaking in disbelief. Hands pointing towards places where bodies had lain. People often bursting into tears were asking, why? Piece by piece, a story has been building. It was all about the Inland Revenue, one reporter has said. He was being investigated and was paranoid that his brother and the solicitor were colluding to get him in trouble with the taxman. It was also about his father's will and the fear that his brother, who had received £25,000 at an earlier date, had cheated him out of an inheritance. And the previous Saturday, He had apparently told friends he was going to sort out a simmering row with fellow cab drivers that he accused were queue-jumping in order to steal fares. He did return to that taxi rank in Whitehaven on the Tuesday, and he drove twice past those queuing taxis at a snail's pace, and he stared menacingly at fellow drivers before speeding off. That evening, the night before the massacre, he was involved again in a blazing row at that rank that reportedly ended with him saying there was going to be a rampage. He had taken to binge drinking. He is believed to have gone home that night and threatened to take his gun and shoot someone, only to be stopped by a friend. Little did that friend and others that knew him realize that the very next day all of this anger that was fermenting within him was going to burst out in the form of that killing spree that left 13 people dead. Any practical, spiritual lessons? I see several. On Wednesday past, this country was given a frame-by-frame exposure of what Satan and sin are all about. A horrific illustration of what the Bible teaches Satan and sin do. We can see here the odiousness of the devil's plan. Because when we look at what took place in West Cumbria, we see the evil of the human heart. We see also the operations of the devil, and it's a lethal combination. Our Lord, when he was here on earth, and we read the passage today, he warned about the origin and also the activity of the devil in the clearest of terms. John 8 and verse 44, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." And again, in John chapter 10, in verse 10, our Lord analyzes the movements of the devil, and he reveals the devil's intentions when he says, "He cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy." And not only did he talk about the devil, our Lord warned about what was lying in there in the human heart. Mark 7, the verse 21, for example, Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." And so the list of sin goes on spewing out of man's own natural depravity that is latent within his heart. The devil comes along, links up with the evil nature that is within us, and he exploits it, he fans it up, he works upon it to our destruction and to the destruction of others around us. Those words in John 8:44, "The devil is a murderer from the beginning," are most significant. If you follow the history of man, right from his earliest steps and his earliest activities, you're logging on right away to the trail of sin and especially murder, because the devil from the beginning was dragging man along this wicked route. It appears so early in man's family tree because Cain, first son of Adam and Eve, was the first one to go down this route. In Genesis 4 and 8, we read, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." And in the context of that, nothing has changed. The same thing happened this week. Now, he may have been the first on record, but Cain was not the only murderer mentioned in those early chapters of the Bible in Genesis chapter 4, because before the same chapter ends, we have another man rising to the level of notoriety. Man by the name of Lamech, who began to boast about several murders he had committed. And Lamech said, verse 23 and 24 of Genesis 4, "I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." So it was multiple murder. back in the earliest of days. And as man's history in the face of the earth has moved forward, has his behaviour improved? Certainly not. Such was the spread and saturation, the incidence and intensity of man's wickedness, that the fierce anger of God in heaven was attracted by it, and he flooded the earth as a punishment. This observation was made prior to the flood, Genesis 6, verse 11 and 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. From Cain, through Lamech, right down through to Derek Bird, this earth has been filled with violence. My ears pricked up on the comment made about this area of the Lake District, that it was a place that only ever witnessed 4 murders per year. Obviously, by implication, that means that other centres in our country have a much higher murder rate. I checked it out, I rummaged around for a few facts, and discovered these, that for years, Britain has had a very low rate of murder compared to other countries. For just as many years, the United States has had a much higher rate of murder. In recent years, the UK's rate is 1.4 persons per 100,000. In America, 5.5 persons as opposed to 1.4 per 100,000. But while the country as a whole may have a low rate of murder, there are areas, pockets, where the murder rate is much higher. In Glasgow, Scotland, the murder rate is 5.9 per 100,000. In London, by contrast, 2.1 for 100,000. In the Manchester metro area, it is 10 per 100,000. And if you go further and deeper into Manchester, and you go into the neighbourhoods of Moss Side and Longsight and the suburb of Hulme, the murder rate is a monstrous 140 per 100,000, considerably worse than Washington, D.C., that is America's most murderous city. What is murder but the evil nature of man expressing itself? Man driven by sin, driven by the devil, fueled by pride and jealousy and anger and rage and other iniquities, rising up and sinfully taking out the life of a fellow man. The Daily Mail on Saturday, 5th of June 2010, carried this headline just yesterday. The deadly hate that festered for 13 years ties in exactly with what our Lord says in Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. It comes from the heart. It emerges from a background of hatred, a point underscored by our Lord in Matthew 5:21 and 22 when he twins murder with hatred, and in 1 John 3 and 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Murder defiles the hands, we are told in Isaiah 59 and 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. It defiles the person and the garments, Lamentations 4, 13 and 14. It defiles the land, Numbers 35 and 33. Psalm 106 and verse 38, we are told there about, ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defiles. Defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. And let there be no doubt about it, and we'll do a little bit of a crash course here on what the Bible says about murder. It teaches, of course it teaches, it's forbidden. Genesis 9 and 6, Exodus 12, Exodus 20 verse 13, Deuteronomy 5, 17, thou shalt not kill. Oh, that's an Old Testament injunction. Turn up Romans chapter 13, the verse 9. What do you read? Same words. Thou shalt not kill. Murder is not concealed from God. as he makes it clear in Isaiah 26:21 and in Jeremiah 2 and the verse 34. Murder is a sin that cries up to heaven for vengeance. Genesis 4:10, back when Cain had murdered his brother Abel, God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Hebrews 12:24, Revelation 6:10 emphasize the same fact. Murder draws down the curse of God. Genesis 4, the verse 11. And now, because of this murder, art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Murder, again, the Bible teaches, should be punished by death. Genesis 9, the verses 5 and 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And murder attracts a death sentence that, according to the Bible, should not be commuted. Numbers 35 and the verse 32. So in the context of all of this, man driven by the devil, driven by the sin within his heart, spilling out into the activity of murder, let me ask a question. Does the devil offer man what he craves the most? Satisfaction? Peace? Happiness? Because that's what all men are looking for. Does the devil offer them this? Well, people act as if he does, and so they follow on in his trail, and they do the things that he sponsors and that he promotes. But all eventually discover that Satan is not laying on playthings for nothing, because behind all of the playful exterior there is a most malicious and a murderous heart. And his modus operandi means that he fills the earth with corruption, fills it with chaos, fills it with catastrophe. And the evil in the heart of man, that heart that Jeremiah 17:9 describes as being above all things deceitful and desperately wicked, that heart of man, the evil within it, lies beneath the surface, ticking away as the days go by, developing, aggregating and building up sin, pride and jealousies and anger, just waiting for a trigger, an opportunity, when the lid flies off and the passions fly out and sin flows forward unchecked. That's what happened back on Wednesday of this week. Quite an incredible article. Appeared in the Daily Mail on Friday past. Entitled, "Evil Lurks in All of Us." I thought from the title I was reading a biblical headline. It is biblical in its import. Not quite in all its contents, because it's philosophy, but "Evil Lurks in All of Us," written by Brian Masters, a crime author. He said the Derek Bird that nobody knew was a man who for years he bottled up his frustration, misinterpreting what others said to him and never telling anybody about the gnawing and growing confusion in his mind. Tiny slights or perceived insults would build up inside him, silting his soul, constructing out of small bricks a veritable cathedral of resentment. The uncomfortable truth, Brian Master said, the uncomfortable truth is that there is the potential for a Derek Bird explosion within all of us. It would be foolish to pretend that it is impossible for you, for me, or for my neighbor to explode in such a catastrophic way. And he goes on to write about that time when he snapped and went out on his murderous crusade, about the hapless innocents who were utterly unaware that a devil was in their midst. This is the activity of sin, stirred up by the devil. And the fact of the matter today is you are in Satan's sights. He's still a murderer. He still wants to destroy men, and he wants to destroy you and to damn your soul in hell. If you're talking about a target in life, an objective, a goal to aim at, Then pull back all the deceptions along the way, and pull back all the bright facades, and pull back all the confusing signals, and let's get this straight. The devil, his goal is, his target, to destroy you. He wants to see you in hell. It's as simple and as horrific as that. So in those grisly events that occurred in West Cumbria this past week, we have an illustration of the odiousness of the devil's plan. Also, we have a view of the outworking of the devil's plan. Here was a scheme planned over at least some little time that was executed suddenly. Unexpected did any of those 12 victims of Derek Bird imagine he was going to blast them to death as they rose out of their beds that morning? Did the brother feel it was going to happen? The solicitor? The taxi driver? The mole catcher? The charity worker? The council estate agent? Did he believe it? Not one. Their demise was sudden. And we can go through life and feel we're insulated from all of this. And others are taken out, but we are still standing, and we always will. And can ignore the fact that we can be taken suddenly. It was savage as well. The killings were intensely brutal. The facts that a shotgun at close range and a .22 rifle were used, that he targeted the face of his victims, that he showed no respect for anything or anyone, just underlines the brutality and the savagery of the day. In an interview on the day of the killings, a local doctor in the Cumbria district commented that young people and children saw that day what they never should have seen. A case in point is that of 9-year-old Jordan Williams. He has suffered nightmares since he stared into the hawk-like eyes of Derek Bird seconds after that taxi driver had gunned down a cyclist. That little lad was out walking in the sunshine with his mother and his 4-year-old sister and a friend in Seascale, and Bird careered along the road in his car and blasted cyclist Michael Pike. He had retired to the area, thought it was like paradise. He shot his back wheel and then shot him in the cheek, said 9-year-old Jordan. Then he stopped and stared at me in my eyes. For about 7 seconds he looked like he was mad. He had his eyes like a hawk staring at something. I felt scared. I thought he was going to shoot at us too. After this sight, Jordan was up 3 times that night being sick. He said he had a nightmare that a man was coming to get him. Devil and sin don't care what gets in the way. Don't mind about the wreckage. The devil is determined he will get through with his plan. Suddenly, savagely, we should also mention the outworking of the devil's plan in terms of its spread. Much has been said about the zigzag course taken by this murderer. Bird used his taxi driver's knowledge of the area to drive that Citroen Picasso down single-track back roads to those isolated rural hamlets as he was crisscrossing through the area. At first, it seemed random. Desperate attempts to evade the police who were by now tracking him. But on later reflection, could more have been a deliberate course, going to one target after another target who deliberately he wanted to injure and kill. This is exactly how the devil and sin operate. They spread destruction and death and mayhem and murder within an area. Every area constantly trying to expand their influence and extend their grip. And this murderous activity from Satan and sin is worldwide in its expanse. I think of Job verse 1, and also the same phrases are repeated in Job 2 and verse 2. Job 1:7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I've been scouring the area. That's what the devil said. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible is clear. And the devil being out there, sin is everywhere. No one is immune from its exercise or from its effects. There is no man that sinneth not. Therefore, we stand today, we are all sinners. The seeds of destruction are in all of our souls. Our sinful souls are headed for punishment in the perdition that is hell. What a black picture! Is there no hope for man? Is there no hope for us? The odiousness of the devil's plan, the outworking of the devil's plan. Finally and quickly, it delights me to talk about the obstruction of the devil's plan. A headline in one of yesterday's newspapers dramatically said, 30 seconds behind the killer. But we had no chance of stopping him, police insist. Pressure, of course, has been heaped on the tiny, rural police force that is in charge of that area of the Lake District. The question has been repeatedly asked, why they fail to hunt the killer down and stop him killing so many. Cumbria Chief Constable Craig Mackey launched an impassioned defence of his force at a press conference. He said, from what we know, at no stage did any police officer have the chance to end this any sooner. Two armed officers involved in the pursuit told Prime Minister David Cameron that they were less than a minute behind the taxi driver as he sped through the countryside. It was so fast, I could not believe how quickly he was going and how quickly he was moving. One of the officers said, we were no more than 30 to 60 seconds behind him. We kept coming across where he had been. There were just too many roads and too many options to go down so near, yet so far. A mission doomed to failure, as it turned out to be impossible to predict where the killer was going to go next. You know something? No mere man can fend off sinner Satan in their life, is able to sidestep his malicious intent for him. Nobody can take the devil on and win. Only Jesus. The context of John 8:44, where the devil is branded a murderer from the beginning. We mention it at the beginning. It emphasizes in that context there is life and there is deliverance in Jesus Christ alone. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, Jesus said, he shall never see death. And if we complete another verse that we quoted earlier in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The other half, I am come. Jesus is come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. The devil stands, and all he offers beneath it all is death. Christ alone gives life. This is what coming to earth, taking a body, living a perfect life in total compliance to the law of God, offering himself up as a sacrifice on Calvary, bursting forth out of the tomb in victory over sin and death and the devil and hell. This is what that was all about. And we find in the Word of God that our Lord Jesus came to earth specifically to destroy the devil. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to defeat death. He came to open the life gate, all of which we can read about in Hebrews 2:14, Hebrews 2:15, Hebrews 2:17. Charles Wesley put it like this: Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, it turns their hell to heaven. Jesus, the prisoner's fetters breaks and bruises Satan's head. Power into strengthless souls. He speaks and life unto the dead. And because Christ lives and gives to us life that is eternal, he tells us, Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is what's important. Satan and sin are out to snare you. are out to destroy you. You don't know the time of your death, but you do know, I trust, that you need to prepare for that day of death now. In the only guaranteed time you have, this moment, to seek the Saviour. And Christians, we need to reach out to the lost. I read another sad headline in the middle of many others surrounding these brutal killings. The headline was, Health and Safety Rules. Stopped paramedics treating the injured. Paramedics were prevented from helping victims of Derek Bird's shooting spree because of fears that he was still about and could turn the gun on them. Fears over those health and safety issues meant the police held back ambulance crews and grounded rescue helicopters until every shooting scene was cleared, and in some cases casualties with horrific injuries had to fend for themselves as ambulance crews maintained a safe distance. Most people were taken to hospital not in ambulances, but in private cars of Good Samaritans that bundled the people in and drove them off. Now, these forces were adhering to the law as it stands, but their actions raised fears that lives were lost that could have been saved, and they have reignited calls for changes to the law. Ministers have proposed amending health and safety laws so that they do not block common sense policing. This is not a time for holding back for the child of God. This is not a time for restraint. This is not a time to listen to people who would stop you going out and speaking to those who are perishing. Rather, this is a time when every child of God should be doing what they can to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save.